Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Episode because I have followed and read Jennifer Scott's blog, Lots of Scotts. She's got triplets for years. I think like when blogs first hit the scene, my friend Kelly knew her from Columbus and sent it to me. Maybe. I think that's how I found it. And she is just incredible. Y'all are going to want to replay this one and replay this one as I have. She is precious. I don't know how she's alive with triplets, but she did it. They just graduated, and she gives us that empty nest wisdom that we're talking about. These, if you didn't go to last week, Kristen Hatton started last week. We have Jennifer Scott this week, and then next week we have another guest. So enjoy these. I think it's always important if you get around anybody in your circle, in your church community that is ahead of the game, just to sit them down and ask them some questions. We can learn so much from each other, even though I don't think Jennifer's like much older than me. So I think she's like 10 years ahead of me because she's so wise, but I think we might be the same age. Okay, y'all are gonna love her. Enjoy. Y'all, I'm super giddy. I've got my friend Jennifer Scott. Some know her as Lots of Scotts from her blog.
That is so funny.
I've got to tell you about my dream. I'm going to give you a chance to introduce yourself. But so last night I was like, man, I've been sleeping in. I've been taking melatonin. I'm like the laziest summer mom. But I had a dream and it felt so real. Here's what the dream was. I was on my parents' dock and they had somehow merged two docks. This isn't true, to make like a tiny home. And so there was all these things and they were showing me and I was like half asleep. And I was like, Mom, what time is it? And she was like, it's 10:20. And I was like, oh, I've got to interview Jennifer Scott.
Hilarious.
In my dream. So I start running up the hill in a bathing suit and then I wake up and I'm like checking my phone. I'm like, okay, it's only 8:15. I got time to get
up. I'm so sorry that I'm the source of an anxiety dream. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I know who you are really from online. We've had tons of mutual friends, but I have just admired and read and literally cried over your words for years. And you don't write that often, but when you do, I am like, click, open, save. And so tell us about you for those, you're not one that is big on self-promotion or being out there. I even tried to get you to write a book and you were like, no, thank you. So tell us about your life and where you are in this stage.
Okay, so I am a mom of triplets who were a product of an infertility journey, biggest surprise of our lives. And I have been able to stay at home and parent them. I'm very involved and passionate about things in my community, but have been able to be involved in those things and work around a schedule of being around with them for the last 19 years. My husband, Ryland, is a general surgeon, so his schedule is crazy. And we live in Northwest Georgia. We are foster parents, which has played a lot into our parenting journey. We've done that at two different seasons of our life now. So that's it. Getting ready to launch these three children. They've all just graduated from high school and just finishing this leg of the parenting journey. Yeah. And as I am very, very aware, moving into the next season of parenting. Yeah. There's still a lot.
I saw that you were at the airport or something in the middle of the night. So you're like, we're not done picking up children.
Oh, and I leave again Thursday at 3 a.m. to take two of them back to the airport for another journey. So I'm the Sherpa provisioner.
Yes, you are.
Home base right
now. Yes, you are. So. I love it. Well, one of the things I was thinking about was there's so many moms listening and you're at the point we've been either fearing or dreaming about is like, can I just do this job well and get them to 18? But now we know the job isn't over at 18, but it's a big milestone. So I just want to say, how are you feeling? Like, and this goes to parents that stayed home or parents that work. Like, it's a big milestone. So before I make you cry right out of the gate, how are you feeling right now?
Right, right. Thanks, Courtney. So I can honestly say I feel joy and I feel a sense of accomplishment, not because of the outcome, but because we have crossed a major line. My daughter is a distance runner. I had a very short stint of this in my 20s. And the last 5K that I remember running was miserable. And all I kept saying was, if I can make it to that signpost, if I can make it to that traffic light, it is setting these sort of short-term goals for myself. And so I feel like this is like a huge one, but there's another race to come. But it's entirely different parenting these young adults. My husband and I've laughed. The metaphor that we're using right now is we're birthing baby adults. So we've been through the birthing infants and getting them to adulthood. And really, this process has now just started over. And so we've laughed even all the times we have this summer where they're gone or different ones are gone. We're like, whoops, sending them back to the baby adult nursery for a little bit to get some rest. And we send them off to camp.
Do you use a certain term? I know, depending on which parenting, you know, style you follow, I think some would say it was the training years and the early years and then the coaching and the guiding. So do you have a word for it? Is it more consulting? Is it, what do you feel like your role is in these late high school?
Oh, man. Well, it's interesting. I mentioned that our fostering journey has taught me a lot. And one of the terms we use a lot in parenting kids from hard places is regulation, is the and a whole concept of the you're regulating for them when they're infants, and then there are periods where you're co-regulating so that you can teach them how to self-regulate. And so I would say that we're doing that, but like I mentioned about birthing baby adults, really all over again, regulating for them what it looks like to pack and to move and to, but then also realizing we're on an accelerated timeline because they'll be able, my kids are all going out of state and far away. They'll be able to get us by phone, but the true physical presence of looking over their shoulder and you know, knowing what's going on is really different.
I have so many questions. Okay, let me ask, okay, for the moms of multiples, you know, and even if they have multiple kids, but three babies at the same time, do you have any survival? Like, is it just pray and hunker down? Like, how did
so
you survive 18 years?
So here's the honest truth, Courtney. We don't remember the first 2 years of their lives. Like, we laugh. We look back at photos and we were so exhausted. Thank heavens for photos. And I think that's really why I started blogging. I started blogging when they were a year old because I realized I couldn't remember what I did the day before. And it truly was a journal for me, just so that at the end of the day, sometimes even when my husband said, "What did you do today?" I could tell him.
No clue.
I kept three people alive, four people alive.
I just did an interview with Jennifer Dukesley about her new book, and it's about journaling. And I was thinking about that, about blogging, and thought, remember back in the day, Jennifer, with it, there was a few bloggers. It was you. It was Boo Mama, Big Mama, Kelly Stamps. And I just would hold my babies and read these and felt so seen in a way that's like, you just feel lonely at home. And I also think one of the beautiful things about blogging, and you specifically, is that God would press something on your heart. You would write it and you would share it and you didn't have expectations. You weren't trying to become an influencer, which it isn't wrong, but your motive was like, capture the memory, share what God is doing in my life. And I've missed that. I just feel like it's gotten a little bit out of whack these days. Do you feel like that was the way it was back then?
It was the way it was. And I, it's funny when you laughed about the write a book, write a book. I've pressed back against that so much, probably because I know my own heart, for crying out loud. And I never, ever wanted pride to get in the middle of that. And there would be times where my very scientific husband would come home and read something that I wrote, and he would say, "I'm just not sure why you feel like you have to tell people that." You know, it's sort of the Southern adage of, "You're crazy, show and tug it back in," you know? And I would show him emails and private messages that I would get from people. That was the other beauty of blogging. And I guess with Insta, I kind of microblog on Instagram and you can get the private messages that way. But how often people very privately would message me and say, "I thought I was the only one." I thought I was the only one. And so I also think it's really difficult to hold what's your story separate from what is your children's story and what is your husband's story. And to be able to say, no, 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 this part is my story. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for me to share this part and still honor the people that I love. So.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I have a special place in my heart. I feel like I've been a stay-at-home mom, but I actually work a lot. But in my head, I've been, you know, I guess my schedule, I'm home with them a lot. And so there was just this teary moment of watching you post about your triplets. I was like, I'm so proud of her. Like, they're grown adults. They're not in jail. They love the Lord. And it was like,
not yet.
You know what I mean? And I just am so proud of you and think you have committed. And there's so many moms out there that feel like it's Groundhog's Day that have stayed home and, I don't know, committed to a lot of unseen, behind the scenes work. And you're doing a great job. And great job, my friend.
Thank you. So I'm going to just pop in.
Go ahead. Do it.
Well, I was going to pop in and tell you that it's funny, my midlife crisis mode of parenting right now, the Lord keeps drawing me to Ecclesiastes, just back to Ecclesiastes, back to Ecclesiastes. And I don't know how much time you've spent there, but depending on the place you're in life, it can feel very, very depressing. But the Lord just kept calling me back there. And it started with, you know, the parts that are read at funerals about, you know, there's a time for everything and just this whole concept of seasons and just the seasons are changing. And we have tried to so intentionally parent all the way through. Mm-hmm. And my husband's a great partner in that. Even though I'm the one physically here most of the time, he's a great partner in that. But to be able to say, it's okay that the season is changing. This is God's order and this is his design. And no more would we go back and pick leaves up and glue them back to the tree in fall.
Good.
We know that it's just the passage of time. So as I have kept going back to Ecclesiastes, the other day I just was curious what the Bible Project had to say about it. And I just love the Bible Project's video takes on these things. And I found a take on Ecclesiastes that reinterpreted the meaningless, it's meaningless, it's all meaningless part that people think is so depressing.
Yeah.
And most people may know this. I did not. This concept of the original word, which is hevel, which is actually smoke or mist.
Wow.
And it's not that it's meaningless. It's that it's like trying to capture and form smoke.
Wow.
You can't do that. You can't hold it. You can't make the meaning. You can't shape the meaning. You can't hold it. It is there. It's just not something you're in charge of. And so what God has really been whispering to me, which is the greatest encouragement as I hand the reins over to my children who are 19, but still have a lot of life and maturity and things to learn, just like my 48-year-old self, but is that it hasn't been meaningless. The things that we've done all along the way, the staying home or not staying home or the drawing a hard line in the sand about this or that. It's just that I don't get to assign the meaning to it.
Yes,
and in the case of having three kids, it's looked different in all three of them. Mm-hmm. They have been raised in the exact same house by the same people in the same life stage at the same time. And holy cow, they are so different. Because we don't get to assign the meaning.
Yes,
we just show up in obedience and in love every day and really do have to trust the Lord in what
That's
He
right.
is doing
That's
with
right.
the meaning and the outcome.
Oh, gosh.
So
good. So important that our kids understand their identity in Christ because the world around us tells our kids a lot of things about who they are. But as believing parents, we know one thing to be true. We were made in God's image and we were created for a purpose. Have you ever wondered, how do I talk to my kid about the topic of identity? It feels overwhelming and complicated and confusing. Or how do I weave scripture around conversations about faith, identity, and purpose into your everyday life? Well, Identity Simplified is the resource you need. Identity Simplified is Christian parenting's newest digital guide that includes some of the best articles, podcasts, and videos on topics like, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? How does our identity in Christ change our purpose? What does the Bible say about sexual identity or gender identity? And how do we treat others? And much more. You'll find conversation guides, discussion starters, and script to use with your kids. And since the guide is digital, you can download it straight to your phone or computer and then search through those resources whenever you need. There's a lot of information out there, and it can feel like a big topic. And we hope that this guide will help you in your everyday life as you and your family question the culture around you, your identity in Christ, and much more. You can go to cpgive.org to download your copy for just $5. That's the best of the best resources from top Christian parenting contributors for just $5. And again, that's cpgive.org. And let me ask you a favor. Let me know what you think. Email us, DM us over at Christian Parenting or Pardon the Mess, and tell us how this resource helped you or some of our other digital guides out there. There's a lot on the website, and we hope they bless you and your family. Have you guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time, but I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling, and I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is IXL is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and IXL customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Pardon the Mess, listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately, but did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers, this one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable, and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards. So it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding. Avocado, dream of better. Y'all, I'm going to link to her blog and you'll just binge it and go back and cry and laugh. And it's so good. But I pulled it this morning and now I've lost it, but I was going to read it to this morning. But it's, you were talking about Ecclesiastes and that you came to discover that it didn't all matter and you didn't know what mattered. You know what I mean? Like it, through their college essays. So maybe that's not the right way to say it, but can you talk to us about that epiphany when you read their college essays that like there wasn't a formula? There wasn't like, if I do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they are going to do this, that, that. So how do you, because we want to be intentional. We want to put the effort in, but we don't know the guarantee. We don't know what it's going to look like.
Well, I think the biggest thing is to not put any stock in your desired outcome. But something we came across recently, and I really tried in preparation for today to find the author, and I can't find it, but is about seeing yourself as a shepherd, not an engineer of your children, that it is your job to lean so hard into the Holy Spirit and just pray, Lord, right now in this minute, I do know where this came from, Andy Stanley, what does love require of me? Right now. In this minute. And it's not going to look the same in every situation with every one of your children. It's so exhausting to live in the tension of this all the time that we all just want to go to a formula because that feels safe and reliable. And instead, I just felt the Lord is like, no, I'm your formula. Stay plugged into me. These kids were my idea. I thought of them first and I put them with you because of the mutual sanctification that is wow. going to happen in both of you. And to realize that the process and the outcome has as much to do with the humility that the Lord is teaching me as anything else.
That's right.
And so, you know, that I would say that's the big
yeah.
statement. We could talk forever about all the branches of that.
Yes. Well, we talked before we got started recording about that formula. Can you encourage someone that maybe they're coming into this and they're like, I don't even know how to be a Christian myself. Like, I don't even know what this looks like. And you can look on social media and be like, what is the handbook? Where did they get this? And so tell us about that formula idea and what you've learned over the years about, you know, that it doesn't exist. Maybe that's the spoiler alert.
Right. Well, I think especially for those of us, like, I mean, I was born in the 70s. Like, I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. My parents were in their early 20s. They loved us. They played with us. They were so much fun. And that was the way people parented, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There weren't all these things that we have now, you know, small group studies that tell you exactly parenting 1, 2, 3, et cetera.
Right.
And even my faith journey, very different than that of my parents. And, mm-hmm. I went to church with my grandmother, and that was what was instrumental to my faith life. So I think coming up in that, and then I married a man from a very conservative home with parents who had had him in church since day one. And I thought, oh no, there's like a handbook to be that kind of wife and mom. And I was raised this totally different way. And how are we ever going to merge these two things? And then God like gave us the ultimate checkmate of, haha, you control freaks, here are triplets, you know? And so I think the metaphor that we've used all along, I mentioned the shepherd, not engineer, but we really have said for a long time, we're farmers, not engineers. And God gave us this plot of land when he made us parents. And the soil was fertile. And he's like, I've planted some things here. And they started sprouting. And we were like, oh, they're not the same things. And I'm not a very good gardener. But I do have this container that I try to garden. I always try to put a couple of different things in it. And what you realize is they start sprouting and they're growing at different rates. And they need different amounts of sun and different fertilizer and different water. And some of them need to be weeded and weeded differently and pruned. And it's so overwhelming. And I would say that is what I'm learning that parenting is. Mm. God gives us this plot of land, but he plants the seed and he knows what's going to grow there and what that fruit is going to look like. And I can no more make a rutabaga, a cucumber, right? Or, yeah, but we try, don't we?
Yes.
We try. And I just think.
And what you said, the timing.
My kids were born within 3 minutes of each other on the same day. There's been a year in when they've started driving difference. There have been huge gaps in, you know, who has dated and who hasn't even dated yet. And who, and those are just the little things. The timing is so different. But when you stop thinking that there is a formula and you instead can marvel at, this is a different plant than this. Its fruit is going to look different. Its blossoming is going to look different. Its requirements are going to be different. And the only person that really knows is the creator of this thing, this person. And so the humility that comes from that is the only thing that can keep you going, you know? And I think there's a lot of freedom when you start realizing that you don't have to take so much blame, but you also don't get to take so much credit either.
Yeah.
And I'm talking my face off, but I do want to say this because it is another huge revelation I haven't even written about yet because it's so tender. We're fostering again now, and my last four placements have been 13 or 14-year-old girls. And they've all been 13 or 14-year-old girls that have already been in the foster care system but have disrupted their placements and aren't going to be able to stay where they are anymore. And in every situation, it's been a hurting, angry girl that felt like she had no control, so she acted out. Mm-hmm. And they come here, and we laugh. We call it, you know, Camp Scott. We come. I don't let them bring phones. And we just regroup for, you know, 2 to 6 days while they find them another placement. I have had girls with nose rings, girls with tattoos, 13 and 14 years old, who I don't even see those things in them. And I realized, I think as I'm nitpicking my biological children, wow, but I don't even like bat an eye over here, that I might be a better foster parent than I am a biological parent because my pride is not involved.
Oh, wow.
And that realization alone has kicked my tail. The realization, and you, if we think about kind of if I could go back and do things differently, if I could go back treating my biological children the way I treat these children when they come in my house, which is, I don't know how long I have you. The outcome here is not my responsibility. Wow. All I have with you is today.
Jennifer,
and today, wow, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to love you and I am going to point you to the Lord and encourage you to be the best version of yourself, but I am not going to spend all my time nitpicking. Now, in terms of full transparency, I just lectured a child about needing to shave in the other room. So, you know, I am still very much figuring this out, but it was just a really big moment of what happens when we really do trust that the Lord is in charge of the timeline and the outcome, and we're just supposed to show up obediently and love with everything we've got the way He leads us to.
Jennifer, I have like a lump in my throat. That is so huge. It's that unconditional love that we say we're doing, but then you look back and go, oh, I was completely conditional. Like it was, if you do this, or if you behave this way, or if your grades are like this. And that will preach, and I'm going to be thinking about that for days. So thank you that you shared something so tender and new. And it's also, you're just so humble. You're not at a place where I've arrived, here are the three steps that I did, and you're still learning.
No, I am definitely, definitely not there.
Oh my goodness. All right. You've touched on so many things, but let's talk about, we're going to go big picture and then kind of practical. So big picture, are there two or three values or things that you would say, like I mentioned in a previous podcast, generosity is a huge thing for our parent or our family. Mm-hmm. Is there a couple seeds that you felt like were really important for your family that you did put in there just, and they maybe didn't grow when you thought they would, but it was like, we know intentionally these are things we're going to pour into our family as the Scotts.
Yes. We actually, it's on the side of my refrigerator, but we made a list like this when our kids were two. And I have been tempted over the years to type it up or to make it look cute. And I have resisted that urge. It's still in the original notebook paper that my husband and I scribbled it all down. But I do think helping our children understand that we are here to serve, not to be served, has been huge. And, you know, we're involved in several things, but one of the real ways that we did that was through the Lord leading us to foster care, because bringing other children into your home and not saying, no, this is our place. This is where we protect and we... Mm-hmm. And the things that my children have learned from sharing their very lives, I would say huge in terms of realizing their backstories, their reasons that people are the way they are, and we usually don't know them. You know, our foster kids come with reports, and then they tell us things, and there are still things that we go, wow, that explains a lot. So I definitely think that. And I think with that, treating every person in front of us with dignity, treating every single person in front of us as a unique creation of God, period, full stop. That is another thing that I hope we've really implemented them, that the person waiting us at the grocery store has a name and a story and a family, just as much as the most important person that walks in the room.
I love that.
By the world standards, most important.
Those are great. I have my notebook paper for they. The girls were dedicated a baby dedication at North Point Church, and they had us write those things down. And so I'm like, somewhere in my file is those, and we scribbled all around it and X'd them out, and then we circled, you know, five or so. So I'm gonna just tack that to my fridge in honor of you. That's so good. Okay, let's talk about practical. If you look back over time, you're like, I'm so glad we ate dinner. I'm so glad we went to church. Are the things that you look back and say that was worth it? I'm so glad we put emphasis on those practical things.
Yes. So I'll start with the ones that you said with crazy schedules, et cetera. I do wish that there were more time to sit around the table. We sit around our kitchen island most nights. stand. We only have three stools in there, but the five of us, when we're all there, do. So I did try as much as possible for us to share a meal together without screens, without phones. I know screens and phones are a hot button, and at 19 years old, it still struggle at my house sometimes. But I did not, and when they turned 18, I told them they could, but ironically, two of them still don't allow my kids to take their phones in their rooms.
Wow.
And they're 19, and two of them still don't. They just didn't grow up having it in their rooms, and so now it's like, I just wanted them to have protected space that was free
that they could always blame.
Well, that is the thing that a lot of people say to me. I didn't even know that I could do that. Mm-hmm. And I do think it is one of those things you kind of have to start early. It's hard to peel back.
Yeah.
I do think being actively involved in a church and going, we did say to them, one time a week, you have to be at church, whether that's a small group or Sunday school, you pick which thing, but you need to be there at least once a week. Because a lot of what I see in the world right now of this radical individualism and I'm just doing what works for me forgets the humility that comes from mutual submission to each other in the context of an imperfect church, because no church is perfect and no place is perfect. So I would say that has also been huge. So
I love that. Oh my goodness. Okay. We're running out of time. I'm so bummed. We're going to do another one with you, already guaranteed. So get ready. You're coming back. Okay. What felt big that turned out to be not so big? Is there time? I was talking the other day to somebody about my smocking obsession. So I was like, they will have matching outfits. Uh-huh. They will be smocked and they will look good in every picture. And I'm like, the amount of money, it wasn't bad. But I became obsessed with July 4th and Easter.
Yes.
And they look so cute. Yes. And I spent way too much money and time getting on these outfits. And so is there something that felt big that you look back and you're like, that was not a big deal. Why did I spend so much time on that?
Oh, man. Oh, this is a hard one. I'll just say the first thing that came to mind for me was dating. I was so freaked out when one of my children wanted to have a boyfriend, girlfriend in eighth grade. I was so freaked out by that. And I thought, it turned out for two of my three, one of mine has not really entered that realm yet, but for two of my three, getting that stuff out of the way in eighth and ninth grade when it was all kind of ridiculous, they did not end up dating the rest of high school.
Wow.
And so I thought, And listen, everyone's story is different. I'm not saying this would play out for everybody, but just in our own family's life, there was a little bit of just going, whatever, ridiculousness, where they got burned enough by it to go, what in the world was the point of that? And then they moved into this boy-girl mixed friend group for the remainder of high school where they all took turns taking each other to dances, whatever, and it just wasn't a priority for them. So I just think in our own life, that was one of those things that I spent a lot of time really wigging out about that wasn't necessary.
That is so good for me because we've had a similar situation in our home. And I did freak out. You know, you were like, I'm going to stay calm. Mm-hmm. But I do think that's where like our wounds, maybe my wounds from boyfriends or college or mistakes come in and you're wanting to protect them so bad. So I see where that happens, but that is good. Okay. I'm not going to freak out within reason. Okay. If she's, you know, doing something crazy. So, okay. I want to talk two more things. First, fostering, so you can get your mind around it. Just anything else you would say for a family that's wanting to do that, that is scared, that has heard some horror stories, like what has this brought to your family and life? And then lastly, I just want to give you the final word of anything that you would say, I really want to make sure I'm telling moms this. And we know you have so much on your heart, but I want to give you that last word. So first, fostering.
Man, what I would say about fostering is it is a different journey for everyone. And if you are married, you and your spouse have to be on the same page about it. And that has been as much part of our journey as anything else is the timing of when we were both on the same page. That could be a whole nother thing, our testimony about that. But I would say that. And then the second thing I would say, just in general, is examining our motives for anything that the Lord puts on your heart, whether it's fostering or for you, it may be something entirely different. And what are you clinging to that you're afraid to give over to him in order to be obedient to that? Because that typically exposes something in our heart that's the very reason that he wants us to do that. So fostering has been hard, but it has also been beautiful. And, but I also know not everyone is called to serve in the same way for everything. But in our family, my children would say it has really been transformative for them to get to serve other people, share their home, share their parents, and really learn, especially as privileged kids, frankly, how very different a lot of people's lives are.
Wow. That's great. So last word, I have one more encouragement for you, but anything that's sitting on your heart that you feel like I'm going to look back at this and wish, because again, we can do it again. I would have you like once a month if you, in all your spare time, but for today's one, anything else that you want to share?
So I would just say, this is hard for me because I'm so type A and I am begin with the end in mind and be intentional. It has been very interesting for me to learn that part of being an intentional parent and being so hands-on for so long means being intentional in my letting go now. That is also an act of intentionality. It is part of doing the job to let go and let your children see that you trust the Lord with them, let them see that you're trusting the Lord with them, and really do it. So that, and when the begin with the end in mind, remembering that the end is not, I want them to go to this kind of school and have this kind of career and do this kind of thing. And it's so easy to get that mixed up based on different personality types and the world that we live in. And so making sure that the hope that we have for them is something that we've prayed over, and it's not a false hope kind of mixed up with our own pride of what we want our output to look like.
Wow. Okay, I lied. I have one more. Okay. So long ago, you posted the adulting skills. It's a document, and I remember opening it. It's like a checklist from, hey, if you were to teach your kids about finance or homemaking or whatever. And I was like, oh my word, I know like a third of this, but it can be overwhelming because I don't think any of us can check all the lists, but tell us, I'm going to share it with people. And then the moment that they get overwhelmed, what would you say? Like, 'cause it's truly impossible to teach them everything on that list, but it's
totally impossible. Totally impossible. We gave our kids a red shirt year. They repeated kindergarten. So they're 19. We haven't finished that list. I'm the one that compiled the list 4 years ago. And in terms of full disclosure, when I pulled it up to share it with you today, it's a Google Doc. And so I could see when I had opened it last. I haven't opened it since March. Okay. So it is what it is. But what it did help me keep in the forefront of my mind are the types of things to be looking for opportunities to bring them along and teach them while I'm doing. So that is really the approach that we have taken with it is, you know, especially now they'll come in and they'll say, I've got a kid that's going today to get their tires changed and they've got to go. They've got to get the people to look at them, tell them, you know, et cetera. And they're practicing with me what they're going to say and how they're going to do that. And so the last time we did this, I took them with me. I let them speak and I stood behind them. So it's more about back to how we started this conversation about the regulation and the co-regulation than the self-regulation of working them into being able to do these things. And if they can't, knowing how to use YouTube or where to go to.
I think it gives them so much confidence. Like today, I was thinking of you this morning because I need to mail a package. My kids have never gone in the post office and mailed a package. And it's not that daunting unless you've never been, but to say you can do this. But I thought I probably should just take them with me and say that they're going to ask you if you've got firearms or explosive things. And you say no. Then they're going to ask you, like, do you want the cheapest one? Do you need it fast? And so all those little conversations that I think we get frozen in college because we've never walked through that thing. And we figure it out. Like you said, we can YouTube it. We can call your mom. But what a gift we'd give them and their confidence if just, like you said, as the opportunities come up, we say, you can do this. And it's hard for me. I'm a little control freak as well to step back. Yes. I can do it faster, sometimes better, to like let them walk ahead and try it. So thank you. I'm going to share the list. People are going to love it. And my kids are about to learn how to change a tire today.
Well, they might have to come give at least one amount of refresher on that. So,
okay, I do want to end with this. Jennifer, I know when I put stuff out in the world, it's kind of like you're going out there with total vulnerability. You might feel like you have your clothes off. You're like, I just know I'm supposed to share this, but I don't know what the other side of it. And you have touched my heart over and over and over again and been things that I've pulled from. Now I'm crying, cling to. So just know that those blogs and your obedience to share those things have touched so many people that you probably don't even know. I've read all of them. I'm snotting. So thank you. In the midst of raising triplets, that you had the forethought
to
put that out there and just never, and just let God do what he was going to do with it with no expectations. And he is.
That's right.
So thank you.
That's right.
You're amazing. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Courtney.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media over at Pardon the Mess or christianparenting_org. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.